Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox here with you once again, back after the 22-21 loss to the Green Bay Packers up at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Literally.
And it really was that. I think I've finally just warmed up here. We're going to talk a little bit about the cold here to start off the podcast because we've got some... We did a little digging into the Falcons history archives. We wanted to share some information with you there. And then we're going to talk about which players, younger players, are warming up. I like that.
See what you did there.
Like that. And then, of course, most valuable Falcon, where we hear about how Daniel lost again. So, let's start off. So, it was cold in Green Bay.
Nate. Yeah.
I mean, no lie. I'm from
right.
Western New York. This is no... strange land to me, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's cold is cold is cold. I don't care where you're at, I don't know that you ever truly get used to it. Well, you're from the South, so
yes.
Do you ever get used to the heat, like the stifling heat?
You don't get used to it because it affects you. I mean, it affects your body. It affects I sweat profusely.
Yeah.
So no, you never get used to it, and those types of things are. It can be a little annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the other hand, the cold, can affect you in different ways. Like you can lose feeling.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
I was familiar with that on Sunday.
Oh, really?
I don't mind telling you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, myself and Matt Moore, we travel with the team, and mm-hmm. so we were. Out there, Matt had actually prepared for the conditions.
Right, he's a veteran.
He's
done this
veteran
before.
Move. I didn't because I thought I was tough.
Right.
And so you get to Lambeau,
uh-huh.
and you get to the visitors' locker room, and then you go up this flight of stairs, and it takes you to this catwalk kind of area. It's just like a press only if you're going to the press box. So it's like you got to walk around like a quarter of the stadium
okay.
outside.
Oh, wow.
Like above all the concession buildings to get over to where the press elevator would pick you up to take you up to the press box. So I was out there and I'm like, it's not so bad.
Well, let's set this up because
yeah.
I'm sure most people imagine, Jay, like most people they saw on TV for that game, parkas,
no.
hats, gloves, scarves.
No, I had my suit coat on, no hat. no,
it's like basically earmuffs. One more layer than what you're wearing right now.
No quarterback muff for me to put my hands in. No gloves. No nothing. I had absolutely nothing, and so I'm walking with this guy who works there, and he's wearing just about as much as I am, because he's obviously not, working outside
mm-hmm.
like I was. And I mean,
right.
I sit yeah. up in the press box, so but for this period, you've got to be outside for it, and so him and I are just like. Making record time in speed walking
okay.
to get over to the press elevator. So it was cold. And so I get upstairs and beautiful press box mm-hmm. at Lambeau. And so I have some time up there and I was like, I'm probably not going to go down to the field during pregame like I normally do. I'm just mm-hmm. not going to do it. Well, then I got stupid and Matt was going down. So I'm like, I'll go down too.
Sure.
Why not? Sure. Let's go down, take some pictures. I'm down there 10 minutes. I got no hat on, no jacket, no nothing, no gloves. And I'm tweeting and everything. And all of a sudden, I notice my pinky finger on my mm-hmm. phone hand. Because one hand I was keeping in my pocket, and
right.
then I tweet, and then I put it back in my pocket. But the phone hand I left out. Couldn't feel my pinky. I was, like, touching my pinky. I'm like, I can't feel that.
Wow.
And then my ears.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't feel my ears. So I go, I got to get out of here. It's time for me to go. And
wow.
so I got out of there. So I got a couple of pictures of like Matt Ryan, Steven Jackson
yeah.
warming up, who, they didn't have sleeves on
no.
or anything like that. They're playing a football game, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not allowed to run.
No.
Well, nor do I want to.
Yeah. Nor were you dressed to.
No. So, yeah, I had nothing. But, you know, we saw some Falcons fans who, like, were from up there wearing shorts out of the game.
I saw I don't think it was at the Packers game, but, you know, there was – what an interesting weekend of games.
Yeah.
But just from a weather perspective alone. But I saw one where it was one of the cold weather stadiums, one of the cold weather games, and he was shirtless. But he was obviously, like, shivering.
Yeah. I mean, that's –
It's kind of, you're not supposed to show that.
No, I mean that.
Once you commit to that.
Look, there's something to be said for passion. I love passion.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, let's not be dumb.
Let's,
you know.
Okay, so are you going to be more prepared?
Oh, yeah.
For San Francisco?
Well, I mean, I don't think it'll be nearly as bad. I do want to share with you, though. So we're recording this Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Today... this morning in Green Bay,
right.
The wind chill was minus 42.
Wow.
So imagine if we were playing there today.
Okay.
That
speaking of
awful.
Speaking of things, I think recently the lowest temperature ever recorded was recorded.
In
within a couple of days ago, yeah, in the Arctic Circle, it was like 132 below.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, that doesn't even register.
That's going to require a coat.
Yes. It's going to require a little bit of outerwear to keep warm. But, yeah, so it was definitely cold. It was everything it was built to be. You know, it's a great place, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a cool place to visit.
So while you were doing that.
You were doing some research.
I was at home on my couch by the fire
looking
through every single box score since 1966 that the Falcons have been involved in. And I did this to determine if Sunday was the coldest day or the coldest game that the Falcons have played in. And it turns out it is.
Mm-hmm.
It was 9 degrees at kickoff. So we've got 10 other games or 9 other games that are the 10 coldest games in franchise history. Ironically, 3 of them did occur in Atlanta prior to the Georgia Dome. It was back when they played outdoors.
Wow.
Yeah, so 1975 was the second coldest game. It was 10 degrees, also in Green Bay. 2005, that's a game Matt might recall, in Chicago, 12 degrees. And these are December games, just about.
See, now, that Chicago game in 2005 is one that everybody who is still with the organization who was there then, like, still talks about today. And so to beat that is, I think, saying something.
Absolutely. 9 degrees is pretty, yeah. I did not envy you.
Matt's got something to say.
Daniel, maybe that was the coldest game, but wind chill-wise.
Oh, here we go.
You gotta look at Chicago.
Jeez, Luis.
Because it was -22 from what I heard.
Oh, for real?
Not all that bad.
-22,
and that's what'll get you. The wind will get you every time.
Well, I don't. Do you? But, what was the wind chill in Green Bay on?
It was, I think, -2 or -3, maybe 4, really? Somewhere around
okay.
there.
Okay.
Temperature. Look, hey. They measure these games in degrees.
Yes.
So yes. 12 degrees at kickoff in Chicago.
Yeah. Still
not good
cool.
enough.
Sure.
Not
yeah,
good enough.
Yeah. I think I've actually experienced temperatures like that in Chicago once. That was another story. Cincinnati in 93 was number 4, 16 degrees. Number 5 was 1989 in Atlanta versus the Lions, 17 degrees on Christmas Eve in 1989. 2005 was a playoff game in January in Philly for the 2004 season. It was 19 degrees.
And a lot of people asked me about that game because they were like, oh, that was clearly the most cold game that the Falcons have ever played.
Nope. Number 7 is at Minnesota, long, long time ago, 1966, well before any of those dome stadiums they have out there now. 20 degrees, 1985 in Chicago was 20 degrees. Number 9 was 81 in Atlanta against the Bengals, 21 degrees. And 1968 in Atlanta against the 49ers was 24 degrees. Top 10 coldest games right there.
There are a lot of teams who scoff at that kind of list, you know?
Yeah.
Like Green Bay's playing in those conditions like we had this past Sunday all the time. So you think about how the other half lives, it certainly makes you feel a little more fortunate about getting to play down here below or closer to the equator.
Yeah, with a roof over your head, no less. I appreciate that.
That as well. Always a balmy 72 degrees in the Georgia Dome.
And that's one thing I did notice looking through all those because you would look. I wasn't sure, and I didn't look up like when Minnesota switched from outdoors to indoors. So all those in just about every single indoor game, 72 degrees.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what you keep it at.
Yeah.
That's optimal living temperature for human beings.
Okay.
72 degrees.
Okay.
I prefer a nice 66, 67.
Yeah.
That's where my home is. So.
Okay. Well.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good
top
stuff.
Top 10 games. I spent a day and a half figuring that out.
Yeah. Well, good job. Good job. So now we all know.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So, you know, it's been the year of the year of the rookie, so to speak.
Yeah.
And not just rookies, but younger players. Mm-hmm. The Falcons have gotten quite a bit of playing time out of their younger players this year, and so we wanted to make a little note of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about some of these younger guys,
right.
But a couple of guys that are starting to really show a little bit more right now, and you're getting a good look at some of these guys because you're out of the playoffs. You're kind of viewing it as a dress rehearsal for 2014.
Absolutely.
So you're getting to see which, you know, which guys rise to the top and which ones, you know, maybe don't. And so we've got a couple of guys who we feel are rising.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're rising. They're
warming up
with extra time. I'll go first. I have Malachi Goodman. He missed a couple of weeks with an injury, but he's been back for a while. I don't know that we'll ever see Goodman as a dominant pass rusher, but I think on he plays on the left side, I believe. Typically on the left end, which is more of like a run defense position, and he's been good there. He was really good, just statistically, with like using some stats from Pro Football Focus, as many people like to do. He had a really good game against the run, and he's had those moments throughout the season, and I feel like, you know, he's going to continue to get more and more of those looks as well. And and run defense is a place that the Falcons need some help, you know, at all levels. I think not necessarily help, but maybe they can improve for sure. And I think Goodman kind of marks he's an individual that can come in and continue to help them improve in that run defense. So he's a guy for me that I think is warming up, and I think he's going to be one of those, you know, utility guys, you know, in the future that can do a lot of different things, but excels at run defense.
Yeah, I like him a lot too, and I liked him when we drafted him. And I started to do some more research on him and find out what he's all about. And he's a tough, violent kind of guy that you don't really want to go up against. And so I'm looking to see more out of him once he kind of gets some more confidence and some more playing experience for sure. One guy I saw a lot of confidence out of, this is my first player, Zeke Mata.
Yeah.
He got in into the game against the Packers when Thomas Dekou went down and came in and pretty much had an impact right away.
Yeah.
You saw him on that first defensive series had four tackles. And I believe one of them was for loss as well.
I think so.
So he was like really aggressive, really confident. The kind of attitude that you like to see out of a young player, and that you rarely see out of a young player too, because your head's still kind of swimming, and you haven't gotten down to simply reacting. You're still thinking. But it seemed like he was to the point where he was reacting, and he's gotten some game experience now. We don't know what Deku's status is for this Sunday's game against the Redskins, but this is a guy that I want to see some more from, because he seems like that impact guy that you want at that position.
Yeah, Coach Smith said he specifically said he thought Zeke was a physical player. You know, when he was kind of reviewing the game during his press conference on Monday. And that's what you want to hear. I mean, you want your defense to be physical, and I think sometimes we, you know, have wanted a little more physicality out of the Falcons this season. So having a guy that can come in, you know, with not a lot of experience, and just, you know, in the middle of a game and come in and hit the field running and show that physical play and get involved, that's encouraging.
And here's – I mean – he was playing that game with a broken hand.
Yeah.
Broke his hand a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
played with
a while now.
Had a cast on. He's been trying to heal up from that. In this game, on a special teams play, he gets walloped a little bit,
mm-hmm.
cuts himself right over the head, busts himself open. Still played. I mean, tough kid.
Yeah.
Tough kid that you like to see, you know, get in there and get some playing time.
So yeah, absolutely.
We'll see what the future holds for him.
Yeah. My other player warming up, Robert Alford. That's a guy we've talked a lot about. One of the fan favorites as well. But he played all 72 snaps. First time he's played all the snaps all season. Desmond Trufant on the other side, the other rookie, you know, has played significantly more snaps. He's been a starter all season, you know, and he's been a consistent, you know, player from a snap perspective all season. So it's a little bit different for Trufant versus Alford, but Alford came in, you know, played a ton, actually. You know, he gave up some yards, you know, when you look at some of those, like, you know, average yards per catch and all that stuff. He was giving up some yards. He had a lot of targets. He was obviously one of those guys they were going to target, you know, from the opponent's offensive perspective. But and that'll probably continue throughout the rest of the year. But you know, he didn't give up a touchdown. He's only given up two in his coverage all season. It's going to be this way for the rest of the season. It's going to be Alford and Trufant, and that's kind of exciting to see those two guys, those two young guys that were drafted to be, you know, starters, you know, this year, next year, and be, you know, playmakers down the line for the Falcons. It's encouraging to see those guys get that opportunity to play together at the same time. And, you know, I feel like he's a little bit more of a gambler than Trufant, and I think we're probably going to see, you know, an interception or something like that. Like another big play. He's had a couple of them, you know, a couple more big plays, you know, as we close out this season. But that's my other guy. He's warming up all 72 snaps.
Yeah, I mean, that's big for a second round pick to come in and play that many snaps in you know, a game late in the season.
Yeah.
I think that's huge for him, and it only adds, like you said, that experience that so many of these younger guys are getting this year. My last guy he's not a rookie, so
right.
I'm bending the rules here a little bit, but I've seen a lot out of Jonathan Massaquoi this year.
Absolutely.
You got to like the way he's stepped in and been able to you know, pick up some of the slack left by, you know, Croy Bierman's void. You're not going to replace Croy Bierman, okay,
mm-hmm.
when he goes down. That's a tough player to try and make up production for. But if there's anybody who can kind of do some of the things that Bierman can do, it's Massaquoi. And I think he really showed that against Green Bay. He had a couple of sacks. He was getting pressure, but also he was dropping back into coverage. He was getting around the ball when plays were getting past the line of scrimmage. So, you know, I like what I've seen out of him. You've asked a lot out of him this year as well, and I think he's just been quietly one of those guys who's started to make an impact. I want to see more from him.
Absolutely.
I want to see, you know, a lot more of his abilities, because I feel like he plays with an intensity
mm-hmm.
that you like to see out of a defensive end. So I say he's warming up, and I want to see him get real hot.
Yeah, and he's that's a guy that's I mean, he's played a lot this year. He didn't play a lot last season.
No,
second year, and you can see the progression. Like, he's stringing some games along, especially lately. Last week was by far his best week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But you can start to string some of those games together. A couple of weeks ago, a couple of pressures, and he's starting to get there a little bit. And he's just a guy, I think. And he was relatively young coming out of college, as far as I recall. I don't remember that, but he seems like a guy that's going to need that kind of time. He wasn't a high round draft pick or anything like that, and I think he's one of those players. If you really looked at, you know, the progression, if there was a way to measure that, I think he's one of those guys you'd see that has progressively improved over the course of the season.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you're really starting to notice that impact now. So I think the next 3 weeks are crucial for him
mm-hmm.
To kind of show a little bit more of what
absolutely
he can do.
Because he's a guy that, you know, can be an answer at a position that's probably going to be talked about a lot in the offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot topic, that's
yeah.
for sure. So let's move on to Most Valuable Falcon.
Yep.
And
this is our hot topic.
Right? Let's take your loss again. And I saw you on Twitter.
Oh, man. How worry low.
I saw you on Twitter making excuses.
Okay.
Making excuses for why I've been on such a hot streak. And
you pick
because
Paul Worrell every week?
Because
I just know, like, there's no sense in me even coming in here
valuable
to, like,
Falcon.
Bring Worrell to the table, because
Most valuable.
I'm just not
going to
get to pick him.
You're the one. No, see, the thing is, you're the one who creates a script every week.
I don't write myself. I don't put Paul Wuerlo down because there's no point in it.
If you put him down first, I can't take him. Don't get mad at me because I'm playing
some sort
a game.
Of executive order here.
I am playing a game. I wouldn't. You wouldn't put down Paul Wuerlo, and I'd be like, oh no, I was going to take him.
For real? You wouldn't do that?
No, of course not. Okay. I've just been sticking with the hot hand.
All right.
And you could have jumped in there and taken him at any one of those points, but you didn't. So now I'm not going to take Wuerlo because I don't want there to be an asterisk by my season win.
Okay.
I'm not looking for that. I want to get a win fair and square.
Okay.
So I'm not going with Paul Wuerlo this week. But Paul Wuerlo I went with last week, and I feel like he earned me the win. Because I had Wuerlo, you had Harry Douglas.
Well, let's break it down. Okay. Paul Wuerlo had
break it down.
12 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 1 tackle for loss, and a pass deflection. He sounds like he was all over the place.
That's because he was. MVF, that's because he was the most MVF valuable Falcon.
Material right there. Meanwhile, Harry Douglas, nothing against Harry. He just had one of those days. 2 catches, 20 yards.
Yeah.
I don't even think we need to bring Dylan in on this one.
No. Dylan can stay right over there.
I lost that one. So,
all right, 7-4-2 with 3 games left.
So I've got to go on a.
You can I've only hope
start,
to tie.
Streak starts
and
now, right?
Again, these ties. We said these 2 ties at the end are going to be crucial.
Streak starts.
But
now.
You got to get on a streak here, my friend. Yeah. You can't be screwing around anymore.
All right. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go first.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, oftentimes in the last couple of years, since 2009, when the Falcons' offense has been in trouble, need a first down, who they go to?
I know who they go to.
I think we all know who they go to. And I'm going to him this week, Tony Gonzalez. Third to last game of his career, quite possibly. Yeah. Second to last home game. But last season against Washington, 13 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Tony Gonzalez gets first down catches, right?
He does.
Washington's defense is allowing 13 passing first downs per game this season. That's nice. An average.
Nice.
So
I think it. I mean,
streak starts this week. I'm going with Tony Gonzalez to go big against Washington.
All right. Well, I'm going back to the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to take Roddy White this week.
Oh, no, you're not taking Wuerlo?
No, I just told you I'm not taking
Wuerlo.
I thought
you were just joking.
No, I'm not taking Wuerlo. I am taking Roddy White. Because, again, I don't want any asterisks by my name, by my season win. So I'm going to take Roddy. I like the way we're starting to see Roddy come on here at the end of the season. I think this is, again, we mentioned it last week, but this is starting to feel like the Roddy White of old.
Absolutely.
Maybe he's finally starting to feel healthy after a year just completely riddled with injuries and trying to play through some pain. So I think you're starting to see him open up a little bit more. You're starting to see him being able to take on defenders a little bit better, and that's only helping his game. I like the way that Matt has really looked to him. You talk about first down catches. Roddy White gets his his fair share as well. So I just want to go ahead and say – offense, Roddy White, most valuable Falcon for me this week.
Okay.
And we'll leave Paul Wuerlo out there. Dylan, you can have Paul Wuerlo. Paul Wuerlo goes to Dylan.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Don't let him win. Let him win. So that's what it's going to be. So streak starts now.
Yeah, it's got to.
You got to go streaking.
There's no choice.
No choice.
I want to tie.
Because I seal it. My magic number's 1.
We have to determine what.
Yeah,
what's going to happen?
We will.
Well, no, okay. I can. Oh, that's right. It's 7.
Yeah.
So my only hope, my best hope, is a tie. So we'll have to determine a tiebreaker.
Yep. We will.
I can completely begin to imagine what that will be.
We will, and it'll be great.
We'll involve video cameras and
show it here on the podcast.
Time watches and
everything,
racing and everything.
Potentially. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Thanks again for joining us. For Jay Adams, Daniel Cox, we'll see you next week.